bring saints no mercy sleep. Ah, there on eagle's wings we soar, and sin and sins more left of more.
Singing. Good song. Kind of an Irish tune, isn't it? Would like to have heard Bill Clark sing that. All right, back to Mark chapter 4. I'm just quite sure this will be profitable to you. And if you came here needy, I believe it will be a blessing. This is the story, as we read, of the Lord and His disciples sailing through stormy seas. Now, every word is significant. I'm not trying to make a play on words. We can be guilty of that for cleverness' sake. Nevertheless, every word of God is significant. That's how we know this is God's Word, because every word is in right in place and has a deeper meaning than just on the surface. Verse 35, and the same day when the evening was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Same day. Now, we've been studying this chapter. And there's much that has taken place in this one day. And we started this chapter a couple, 3 weeks ago, I guess. But it seems like minutes, doesn't it? Same day. Doesn't it seem like just this morning that we were here? Doesn't it seem like we were just here? It was Sunday. Almost like for you to close your eyes and just and tell you when you wake up it'll be Sunday. It will be if the Lord doesn't return. Same day. The day. The years, the days, the moments are fleeting. This life is a vapor. That's why the Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Today. Because it's just flying by like that. Every day. Today. Tonight. When evening was come, same day, when the evening was come, the latter part of the day. Now, I believe, really believe, that we are in the latter part of the latter days. I'm certain of that, just certain. So this is, as it were, the evening. All right? And He saith unto them, same day, when the evening was come, our Lord Jesus Christ said unto His disciples. Now this is all between Him and His disciples. And He says unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. What do you say? How about it, Dan? The Master bids us. Let us pass over to the other side. The other side. Are you ready? We got to go through some troubles, though, but that's where we're headed. The other side. Many are already there. They've gone through some troubled seas, but they've passed over. And they're there. They're there. Many. And from our midst here, let's join them, shall we? Verse 36, it says, and now when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him, even as He was in the ship. They sent away the multitude. Again, every word is significant. The vast majority of the people that had been following Him were sent away. But these chosen disciples ones He'd chosen were with Him. They were going to sail with Him. They were going to go the other side with the Lord. The vast majority had been passed by, had been sent away. Right? And what mercy. Think about it, people. This is a little group here. Look at this. I couldn't help but, when I was making my apology, but think, look, I've run off several already. I really do think that every time I do something like that. But you think of God's mercy to this little flock, huh? The vast majority of this world has no interest in this gospel. None. They've been passed by. But God chose me. God called me by His grace. God chose me to be one of His disciples in His little ship. Be with Him. Passover with Him. But as we're going to see, the life of a disciple is not smooth sailing. It's not all smooth sailing. Every one of these disciples, Mary, with Christ, through this storm. There wasn't a one of them that missed this storm. All right, it says they took Him. They took Him. Did that now. Who took who? We're going to see that. Who was taking who? It says, it may have thrown you a little bit. They took Him even as He was in the ship. Now that's significant. He never got out of that ship. Look back in verse 1. This whole story starts. The whole day starts in verse 1 of chapter 4. He began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto Him a great multitude, so that He entered into a ship. That's the first part of the day. He got in this ship. This little boat. His disciples got in with Him. He said, shove off a little bit. And they went out away from the shore, because there's so many people. And He got out away from them, out in this boat. And I imagine He stood up and preached to the people on the shore. Well, He was in the ship, Dan. He never left it. He stayed in it a whole day. And that's significant, is it not? Our Lord came to us. Our Lord has been with us from the beginning. From the beginning. And this is our hope of glory, isn't it? Christ in you. Hope of glory. Well, it says they took Him. But we're going to see how that, though they appeared to be doing all the sailing and the rowing and whatever, they were not controlling that ship at all. They were not in charge of that ship. The Lord was. They never were. All right, read on. It says that they took Him, even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. Other little ship. You know, the Lord's church is made up of little ships. This is a little ship right here. This is a little ark, isn't it? This is a little ark. We resort to this little ark here to be fed like Noah's animals. You know. Noah, who is a picture of Christ. But we come here. And this little ship, Noah had just had 7 passengers and an animal. And God's church is made up of little ships, little local assemblies all over. But this is, they all have this in common. They're all with Him. You see that? They were all with Him. Other little ships. And they all went through these seas. They all went through the same stormy seas. This little church here, little church in Franklin, little church in wherever, Cherokee, little church in Santo Domingo. Faces look different, but they're all the same. They're all God's people, little ships, traveling stormy seas, but the Lord's with them. They're all going to get through it. They're all headed to the other side. They all have the same destination. All right, verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind. a great storm of wind. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. A great storm of wind arose, it said. Now, modern man would explain this in such a way that the jet stream was moving in from the west and met a cold front from the east and collided with warm air from the north and thus producing precipitation in the south. And God blew this wind. Man will go to great lengths to explain away God, won't he? Scripture just said there arose a great wind. What is this wind? Moses tells us this in his song. This is the song of Moses in Exodus 15. And it says in the Revelation that all of the people in glory know the song of Moses. Do you remember that? In Exodus 15, verse 8, Moses says, "With the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap." So this wind is the blast of his nostrils, as it were. David said this, "The voice of the Lord is upon great waters." That's what God did. Make this great warm. Just a little breath from God. Tore them all up. Stirred up the seas. Now you remember this. You remember when we studied the passage where it thundered. Remember our Lord spoke out loud to the Father and said, "Father, glorify thy name." And the Father spoke from heaven and said, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Well, we saw and we heard what he said, but others said it thundered. Others just, all they heard was thunder. Now, every time we hear it thunder, I hope we'll think of that. Truly, I hope we'll think of that. These things take place to make believers conscious of their God. Whenever it thunders, you think of that. God's glorifying his name. Whenever we see the clouds, remember? The clouds are the dust of his feet. Lo, the scripture says he cometh with clouds. Whenever we see clouds in the sky, don't just think, well, they're cumulus, they're cirrus. Well, they're dust. No, it's the dust of his feet. He must be stirring his feet. He's about to come again. Think of that. Be conscious of our God. And whenever you feel the wind blow, next time you feel the wind blow, think of it. It's a blast of his nostrils. Yes, it is. And the wind is often, well, the wind is referred to in Scripture as the Holy Spirit, is it not? That's what spirit. I'll not go into the Greek meaning of it, but that's the very word, wind. The wind, Scripture says, which bloweth where it listeth. That is, the wind bloweth where God purposes it to blow. The winds blow according to the magnitude and the direction that God purposes for them. God's wind, God's Holy Spirit, whatever God brings about. The Spirit of God brought this great storm upon his disciples. The magnitude of the storm and upon whom it came was of the Lord. Right? There were other seas, there were other oceans at this very day that were calm. But not this one. Not this one. The Lord brought this great storm upon his disciples. Now, for our comfort, I want you to, we're going to consider this. This is for your comfort. I'm not even going to furrow my brow tonight. This is for our comfort. We're going to see that whatever the disciples went through, whatever the disciples went through, the Lord did too. Everything, Nancy, they went through, the Lord was with them. For our comfort. Scripture says in Hebrews 4, in all points, he's tempted like as we are. Think of anything. Think of it. He went through it. He himself, Scripture says, was compassed with infirmities. And so a great storm arose. And the waves, read on, verse 37, and the waves beat into the ship. The waves beat into the ship. They weren't little lap, 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 you know, on the side of the boat. These were great waves. The waves beat into the ship. That's how high they were, coming overboard. Big waves. And you know how waves are. Wave after wave. Wave after wave. Waves never seemed to end. But these were big waves. And they began to fill up that ship. Now, most of us are not called on are not called on to go through what, say, Job went through. Oh, my. Read the story. Wave after wave. They no sooner told him some bad news till worse news came. I'm sure Brother Henry, he thought, can it get any worse? And it did. Until everything's gone. Now, most of us are not called on to go through what Job did, or Abraham in the latter days. Because these men were used greatly by God. You see, that's generally the way it is. Those that are used greatly, those that are examples, those that are at the forefront, go through a greater trial. Nevertheless, in a lifetime, you, in a lifetime, every one of us, every believer, in the course of a lifetime, wave after wave after wave of trouble will come upon you. And it could be wave after wave of trials and troubles come upon every believer in the course of a lifetime, and it could be that the biggest wave, like Abraham, is saved until the latter days. The biggest wave is at the last. Now, it says that these waves, these huge waves, began to fill up the ship so that it was now full. The ship was full of water. They all knew, we can't take any more water. Can't take any more. Look at Psalms 3 with me. I didn't know if we were going to have time. We're moving right along here. But let's make time. Psalm 73. This is one of our favorite Psalms. Psalm 73. This is David. Is just opening up his heart here and telling about his own feelings here. David says, he was envious at the foolish. Verse 3, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Verse 4, they don't have any trouble. No bands in their death, no. Their strength is firm. They seem to be steadfast. Verse 5, they're not in trouble as other men. They don't seem to be plagued like me. They're full of pride. Down in verse 10 talks about, I believe, God's people. God's people return hither back to God, or turn from this world, and the waters of a full cup are wrung out on them. The world doesn't seem to have the troubles that believers have. It seems like just the waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. Couldn't help but think of our Lord when He said, the cup that I must drink, are you able to drink it? Waters of a full cup are wrung out to God's people. Why? Why did God's people go through a life full of troubles? Why? Well, partly it's so that we'll get our fill of this world. So we'll find here no continuing city. We won't want to stay here. If you don't have any trouble, if it's all just not, if the disciples were sailing on smooth seas, they might, well, let's not be in such a hurry to get to the other side. This is kind of nice. Take a little nap here. So that we'll get our fill of this world, and mostly, though, that's partly the reason, but mostly it's so that we will learn to trust our Lord, that we will be built up in this faith. Trial of your faith. Trial of your faith. Work at patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. Hope in who? Hope in the Lord. Trust in Him. We'll see that in a moment. It builds faith in Christ. The tougher trials one goes through, the more trust they have in the Lord who gets them through it. All right? So the boat began to be full. The ship began to be full. Go back to the text. Back to the text in Mark 4. It was now full of water. Verse 38. This is remarkable. He, Christ, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now, once again, every word is significant. He was in the hinder part of the ship. Well, why wasn't he, Ron, why wasn't he up at the bow of the ship? Why wasn't he up in the front of the ship? Why was he at the hinder part of the ship? Well, any sailors in here? Folks, the rudder is in the back of the ship. You know what a rudder is? Every ship has a rudder. And what controls that ship? It's a rudder. Did you know, folks, that every helm, you heard the old term, the helm? Captain's at the helm. H-E-L-M. The helm is always the back of the ship. The captain's quarters. Look at these old sailing vessels. You'll see these big boats, the schooners and so forth, and ship of the line and all that. You see this little bulge on the back, on the stern of the ship, up high. It's a little higher than the rest. There's a little bulge, and there's windows across the back. That's the captain's quarters. Captain's quarters always in the back of the ship. He naturally went back to the back of the ship. That's where the captain is. In the hinder part of the ship. That's where the captain is. That's where the rudder is. But he was asleep on a pillow. Well, no, wait a minute. Was he now? Well, yes, he was. Or was he? Psalm 121 says, He that keepeth Israel will neither suffer nor sleep. That's amazing. That's puzzling. He was asleep, but no, he wasn't. I don't understand that. The Lord died on Calvary's cross, didn't he? Or did he? God can't die. There was a man asleep in the back of the boat. The Lord is at the helm. Huh? There was a man that died on Calvary's tree named Jesus. But the Lord was sitting on the throne. He was asleep on a pillow. But look at this. This is for our comfort. Look at Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Turn over there. You need to see this. This is wonderful. Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Our Lord was resting. Our Lord was back there resting, undisturbed, completely, Barbara, totally resting, completely undisturbed, unmoved, undisturbed, resting. Not in the least bit worried about one single thing. That boat is doing this. I've been in one. It was healing. Left and right, waves crashing, rocking this way, that way, full of water. Everybody in it was wet. He was asleep. Now, don't forget this, people. Our Lord was a man. Our Lord was a man. And as a man, He had to live by faith. Yes, He did. Our Lord, as a man, as our representative, He had to live by faith for us. By faith. What is faith? Complete trust in God. Total dependence upon God to keep Him, to provide for Him, to protect Him. We've noted together. We've noted together that the Lord never did a miracle on His own behalf, did He? The Lord never did a miracle on His own behalf. The devil tempted Him one time that way, didn't he? If you be the Son of God, command, you're hungry, aren't you? Command these stones to be made bread. I can't do that, Brother Henry. Can you? Can you produce bread from a stone? From a stone? I can't. He didn't. He could, but He didn't. Why? He had to know what hunger was. He had to depend on His God to provide His bread. And God did. God did. Provided Him everything. What He did here, He's going to do on behalf of the disciples. He's sleeping, Sherry. He's not worried. He's sleeping. But the disciples... And what He did when He finally hushed that storm, He did it for them. Because they were scared to death. He wasn't. He's asleep. And really, if they'd have just said, well, let's just go to sleep, it would have been all right, wouldn't it? But it's full of water. It can't go down. It's impossible. It's impossible. Look at Hebrews 2. But our Lord, as a man, lived by faith, trust, dependence upon His Father as a child. Look at verse 10. It became Him. It was becoming to Him. This is just like Him. That's what that means. It's something becoming to someone. That looks good on you. That's becoming to you. That's fit to you. That looks good on you. Well, it was just like Him to do this. It's becoming to Him, for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. God became a man. He became, look at it, the captain of their salvation. It's just like a captain to lay his hand on the wheel, you know, to come down here in person and go through it himself. Our Lord, our God pities us. How does He pity us? He knows our frame. How? Because He was made a man. He became a man. He became flesh for us. Look at chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verse 2. He can have compassion on the ignorant, on them that are out of the way, because He Himself was compassed with infirmity. Look at this. This is wonderful. Verse 8 and 9. Though He were a son, the Son of God, yet learned He obedience as a man. By the things which He suffered. He didn't have to suffer anything. He didn't have to go through anything like that. He didn't have to go through that. But He did. Why? Because I go through it. And as the captain of our salvation, He goes through whatever we go through. And so it says He was made perfect. He's just perfect. He's the perfect captain. He's the perfect man. He's the perfect captain. He's a perfect Savior. He's a perfect one. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Captain, my captain! Everybody caught needs a captain. Everybody going down. Call on Him. He'll arise for your help. Our captain went through the greatest storms. Isn't that the captain you want? Don't you want a captain that's been through? What if some... Well, you're on a big sailing. They just don't make captains, Brother Henry, out of fellows right out of what's the Naval Academy? Annapolis. They just don't make a captain out of a fellow right out of Annapolis. No, sir, buddy. You got to earn those. Well, they bars. You got to sail a few seas. You got to be a third lieutenant, and a second lieutenant, and a first lieutenant. Well, you really got to start as a swabby, don't you? Start at the bottom. Our Lord said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly." He started as a babe. As a babe, he became a young boy, 12-year-old boy, 20-year-old man, 18-year-old. 18-year-olds go through trouble, don't they? 16, 17, 18. Tempestuous life. 21, 30. The family to tend to. Big family. Mouths to feed. 5,000. He went through these things. He's perfect. He's just perfect. He became perfect. Perfect man for the job. To see his people through. He went through the greatest storms, weathered the roughest seas, and as a man, he had perfect faith. As a man. Perfect faith. He's sleeping in the midst of a greatest storm, the disciples of Jesus. Hurricane forces. He's sleeping. Is that faith, Brother Henry? That's
sailors. These men were sailors by trade. All of them but Matthew. I bet Matthew, when the first wave hit, he thought, "Oh no!" Right? Matthew and whoever else was not a sailor. There was a few of them. But Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, they were all fishermen, you know. They'd been on some rough seas. And this was the big one. This was the big one. White squall. They thought they were goners. This was the one to end it all. And our Lord was asleep on purpose. See, our Lord wasn't sleep. He neither slumbered nor sleepeth. He's not tired, but he knew weariness. I noted to you before he went to the cross, he went without sleep for about 3 days. We just can't do that. Our Lord did. He went without sleep for about 3 days before he was crucified. But our Lord went to sleep on purpose. Why? Our Lord allows this storm to get more and more severe. More and more severe. Because, listen to me, when they get through this big one, when they get through the big one, ain't nothing much after that going to bother them too. Right? They get through this big one. Everything else will feel like just a little breeze. Right? And they won't be quite so fearful when the wind starts picking up. Well, we went through a really rough, our Lord got us through a really rough one. The wind blows. They won't go, "Oh no." Don't worry. And so they could, you know, cheer fellows like Matthew. Landlubbers, you know. Greenhorns. It's all right. Believe me. We've been through some rough sea. This is not bad. You'll get through it. I know. Lord will get us through it. All right, now I want you to picture this. All right, this really happened. This really happened. These are real stories about real people like you and me going through real troubles now. This was a real scene. I wish I could paint this picture like it really happened. And they're sailing along. sail. They had sailboats back then. You couldn't row across the lake, Sea of Galilee. They had sailboats. They were sailing along. And the Lord just, they're sailing. They're the sailors. And He let them, you know, do their job. And the Lord quietly just slips away, unbeknownst to them. He just kind of slips off. Slips into the hinder part of the ship. And he goes to sleep. So they continue sailing and working. And the winds begin to blow. Winds begin to pick up. Their sails are up. That boat heels over like this. And the wind, well, they like wind, but not too much wind. And they're going along, and it really starts to blowing. And boy, and the boat's really heeling over. So when it gets real bad, you strike sails. You got to bring them down. You got to just let the boat go. But they're working. They're manning the ship. I'm sure they forgot about the Lord. The storm comes up, and they're working real hard. They're striking sail. I bet you Peter took over. You bet? I bet you Peter started shouting orders. Self-proclaimed captain, you know. Thomas, grab that line. Philip, strike that sail. Matthew, do something. Don't just sit there. Bail water. Water's coming in the ship. Look alive, men. Batten down the hatches. Tie them. Just chaos just starts to take place. Take all the sails down and batten them down. They tie themselves off. This is what you do in a big storm. That boat is rocking. They're bailing water, trying to get the water out of the ship. They're working their best to keep this boat afloat. They got to do everything they can to keep the boat afloat. If they don't, they're going down.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, do what you can. Do what you're supposed to do. Go to work. Get up early, man. Get on the job. Support that woman. Do what you're supposed to do. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. That's your responsibility as a man. Take care of business. Do your job. Do it well. That's your job. But you ain't keeping the boat afloat. Huh? Do what you will. The Lord's running the ship. The lot is cast into the lap. There's one man. He's in charge of the storehouse. Oh, I wish I was sailing. Somebody's got to be down there cooking or something. Man up there sailing, I wish I was sitting in the galley. Anyway, they all got jobs to do. Do what you do. Do it with all your might. They all need it. But not a one of them controlling that ship. None of them. All working together, but it's the Lord. The lot is cast in the lap, but the whole, W-H-O-L-E, the whole disposing thereof. Is up alone. Doesn't say some of it. It says the whole, doesn't it? Even the lot was cast into your lap. That's up alone. Well, they've had about all they can take. And when they've had about all they can take, they start thinking about the Lord. Don't they? I know they got busy sailing and all that. At first, everything was fine. They were laughing, cutting up, you know, how fishermen do, you know. Cutting up, making, poking when the wind picks up. Whoa. And then they start working. Finally, they forgot about the Lord. So, buddy, when it got real bad, to a man, every one of them, to a man, where's the master? Where's the Lord? And it doesn't say who this was. It said this. Probably Peter. But look at it. Look back in our text, Mark 4. One of them, or two of them, or maybe all of them, went back in the back to find it. In verse 38, it says, "And they awaked him." They awoke him and said unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" "Master, why are you sleeping? Don't you care? We're about to go down." It wasn't that foolish thing to say. Charge the Lord with not caring. Well, he chose every one of them. he had been providing for them ever from the beginning. This was all his purpose, his design. Everything. He's the one who was in charge. Told them we're going to open. He's the one that told them to trust him, but they got all upset. And like David back there, that Psalm 73, and David began to envy the foolish, he said. "I envy the people of the world. I look around me and they'd have all this when he was working so hard to just make ends meet, and doesn't seem like he's getting ahead. World, a wicked world out there doesn't give God a thought, and they've got all more than they can handle." And he was envious. He was jealous of them. That's what he said. "I was envious at the prosperity of the wicked. They're not in trouble like I am." He said, down in Psalm 73, he said, "Maybe this is all in vain. Maybe my religion's in vain." "Oh, David, man, you're talking like a fool." And then it said, until finally I went into the sanctuary. That is, he went to God's house. And what did he hear? Changed his mind. Same thing you and I hear. God's word. He heard a man telling who God is on the throne, and who God's people are, and what God does for them, and what God's purposes are for them, and the trials and the tribulations, and all these things. Yet, and David said, he ended up saying, "I was so foolish." He said, "I was so foolish. How could I be so foolish?" He said, "Why, the Lord has laid hold of my hand. He's determined my ways for me. The Lord is in charge here." Later on, the disciples, after the Lord rose from the grave, remember when it's in Luke, I believe, in the last chapter of Luke, when he came back to them and he upbraided them. He says, Oh, fools, and slow to believe. Why are you so slow to believe? I was with you 3.5 years, providing every need. Did you lack anything?" He asked him. "Did you lack anything while I was with you?" He said, "Every man said nothing more. Not one. You remember the sea we went through? You remember that storm we went through? Did we get through it?" "Yes, we did, Lord. We sure did. Not one man was lost. Not one man went overboard." Peter jumped. "Did he go down? Did Peter drown? Peter?" "No, Lord, I didn't. I'm here to tell it. Do you lack anything? Have I ever done you wrong? Have I ever let you down? Have I ever failed you? What minute of your lifetime that I've been with you? Have you lacked anything?" "Not one thing." "Everything you've been through, did you get through it?" I've heard believers going through trials say, I don't know if I can get through this. They did. They did. I'm so foolish. Oh, fool, slow to believe. That's what we are. We're like the fool out there who doesn't even believe God. What good is our faith to us unless we exert it? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. And you only need faith when you're going through it. trial. That's when you need it the most. Well, look at verse 39. They said, "Master, don't you care?" I'd like to stay right there a while. Doesn't he care? I wonder if anybody in here has just thought that for a moment when you were going through something. Why is the Lord doing this to me? Why is he doing this to me? Every one of us, if you've gone through any kind of trial, you thought, why? That's like saying, "Oh, Lord, don't you care? Why are you doing this to me?" That's why he's doing it to you. Because he does care. And that can't be explained, really. It really can't. Well, go on. It says that he arose, verse 39, and he arose. Our Lord arose from the grave to rebuke sin, hell, and death. Our Lord rose for our help to rebuke our trouble. And he will arise from his throne someday to rebuke the world and take us home. And it's going to be like that. It's going to be like that. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Today is the day of salvation. The Lord's coming back today. Yes, he is. But we're going to hit the shore. There's another story of them in the boat, and it says they were in a storm and they were at the shore. Remember that? It's like they woke up and they were on the shore. That's what it's going to be like, Sam. We're going to wake up and we're going to be back. Rough storm, wasn't it? I guess. Don't hardly remember. Verse 39. He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." Our Lord said this a lot, didn't he? He says this as much as anything. Peace. We just looked at that, didn't we? John 20. First thing is that peace be unto you. Said it again. Let peace be unto you. Thomas wasn't there. Thomas came. He said, "Peace be unto you." The Lord arose from his sleep. Peace. Be still. He's the Prince of Peace. The Maker of Peace. He's the one that brought the wind down. He's the one that brought the wind, yeah? And he's the one only that can still it. Peace. Be still. He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And that raging ocean was reduced to a farm pond. That raging sea that they thought they were going to go down. Ooh. Oh, and it said, look at this. And it says, and there was a great calm, not only on the ocean, but in their hearts. Their hearts before, you know, they were full of fear, and they were just, you've been through it, hadn't you? And they were just full of turmoil. For believers, there's a great calm. Yeah, I know there's a calm before the storm, but for believers, there's a great calm after the storm. A great calm. So that you'll see, the Lord got me through that, didn't he? He sure did. I thought I was a goner. He got me through it. Great calm. Great peace have they who love thy word, and nothing shall offend them or run them off. Read on. It says in verse 40 and 41, I close with this. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He asked them two questions. And they end up asking a question. But why are you so fearful? And we need to ask ourselves this. We really do. But our Lord knows our frame. He does. He really does. He knows why we're fearful. Because we're flesh. He knows that.
But yet, we need this rebuke, don't we? Don't we need this to ask ourselves, why am I so fearful? Do I believe God? Do I trust God? Do I really believe that there's a God on the throne? Do I really believe that He's ordered all things concerning me and they're sure? Do I really believe that He gives unto us eternal life and none will perish? Don't you care if we perish? Do I really believe that He said they shall never perish? Nothing will be their undoing. Nothing, no matter how great the storm. Do I really believe that? Why are you so fearful? Why am I so fearful? Trust the Lord. Great peace of they that trust Him. How is it that you have no faith? Faith comes by trials and things, and the Word cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word. How much have we heard? How much have we seen? How much have we experienced? Henry, you're 70 years old. Charles back there, 70-something. You ladies, some of you in your 60s, 50s, 40s. You've come this far. Life's about over. I'm not picking on you. But if I was 70, I'd be saying it about me. I'd have perfect faith. Huh? Why are you so fearful? You've come this far. Man, you 50? Yeah, I know you are. You look it. 50? You only got about 20 more years, buddy. What are you worried about the next 24? No, don't worry about the next 20. 50 years. 70 years are gone. It's over, Henry. It's over. Your life is over. The Lord got you. Oh, it doesn't matter. Everything. Huh? You're still right there. Been there as long as I've known you. Were you there before I came here? Right there and I see. Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? Through all that the Lord has brought us. Tell me that if I get to be 70. Rebuke me like that if I get fearful like these disciples. How is it that you have no faith? He's proved Himself. We sing that song, How I Proved Him Over and Over. He's just proved Himself to us. Well, they ask Him a question, or they ask themselves a question. It says they feared exceedingly. What they feared was, well, like us, we ought to fear not believing Him. How could we be so foolish? How could we be so unbelieving, faithless? And they feared Him too. This is such power. Why would I not trust Him? I fear not trusting Him, don't you? I fear not. I fear dishonoring Him by faithlessness. I fear going through something and not honoring Him. They feared exceedingly and said one to another. They asked one another this question. What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obeyed Him. We really have more light than they did at this time. You know what? We have more light than they did. They hadn't been with the Lord long. Long enough, but not very long. And they were going through some serious storms. We would have been the same way. We would have been the same way. Fearing for our lives. In spite of all that the Lord has shown us, His power, His Godhead, His glory, His care, His provisions, His Himself, we'd have been right there with Him, afraid, doubting, fearing. We know what manner of man is. They're learning. They're learning. This is no mere man that's with them in the ship. And so we really have more faith, more light than they do, Margaret. We sure do. We get the chapter. We see how it's going to end.
They didn't know they were going to get through that storm. We can go right to the last verse.
They made it.
We ought to have faith, Barbara, shouldn't we? We can go right to the last chapter and say, look at here, I made it. Can't we? Look at here. I made it. There I am, right there with the, in Revelation. There I am. There they are. All the faithful standing back from his throne. All that believe, whosoever believe, chief of sinners, Mary Magdalene, thief on the cross, they're all there. Why not me? There I am. I made it. Just like you said, son. Where is my faith? All right. Let's sing a closing hymn. 517, Sherry. 517. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand. Cast a wistful eye. 517. I think this is fitting. Stand with me. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. And go with me. Let's pass over to the other side. That's what that chorus is saying. Let's pass over to the other side. Who comes? Want to go? Come now with me. Verse 3.
No chilling winds nor poisonous breath can reach that helpful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death and felt feared no more. I am bound for the promised land.